Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
We've had a load of Dan Carlin fans were like writing on our videos going, I've listened to Dan Carlin for 10 years. I've never heard of these two fucking bums.
Listen, are we newer to the arena than Dan Carlin? Yeah. Yes. Is he more informed than we are?
No.
Possibly.
Pretend, I don't know. I wouldn't want to. Like, he wouldn't want to have a quiz off. But no, they were very angry with us for
Dan Carlin's been like going longer than you guys have. Like,
yeah,
taking it all very, very literally.
Well, what's funny? Yeah, they said one guy went, Dan Carlin's going way longer than you guys. It's like, I think you're missing the. I don't think that's the problem. You know, I think the fact that we know absolutely fucking nothing, and he's way. It's not the length of what we've been doing. It's every second of what we've been doing compared to him. You fucking moron. But they got so angry. I didn't know there was like history fans, like fans of historians. And now we're in that world.
Not doing well within it.
We're doing pretty well. Yeah. There's, look, I'm sure.
Garnering respect.
There's at least, you know, people who go, oh, the Euros has come out. May as well put it on.
The Year Is with Red and Bobby.
Welcome to the Year Is podcast, the podcast where every episode, me, Bobby Mayer, and my co-host, Red Richardson, we travel back to a year in history. We talk about the weirdest, the most interesting, the strangest things from that year. So, first, what we do, if you haven't listened before, we have a lot of new listeners, some new patrons, very exciting. Mm-hmm. We just talk Welcome. About what's going on with us. We ease into it.
Well, I actually want to ask a question of our listeners. Why? I have quit sugar for a week, 10 days, and I've been working out every day, but I weigh more than I did 10 days ago. What is going on? Genuinely, that's a problem. Why?
What else have you been eating, though?
Not like, literally, just genuinely chicken and salad. And I don't know what it is.
Did you quit smoking?
No, I still smoke.
Smoking less?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But like when I want a tub of ice cream now, I have a cigarette. But smoking's got nothing to do with your weight.
No, but if you quit smoking, you put on weight.
Yeah.
Usually people do.
Well, because you eat more. But I've not been eating sugar. I've been eating protein. What the fuck is happening?
Maybe, but I think protein might put on weight more than sugar.
Yeah, but it's not fat. So maybe I'm just becoming muscle. Jody, what do you reckon?
Maybe you need to eat even less.
No, because it's not.
Obviously, that's the answer.
No, because
if you keep putting on weight, even though you're working out, the answer is clearly eat less.
Or my fat's being turned into muscle. That's another option. Jody, what do you think?
I don't know what I think. Google says the answer is simple. You weren't allowed to eat anything with sugar, so you reached for other high-calorie foods to satisfy the craving. It's likely due to water retention from all the salt.
That won't be it. That won't be it because I'm not eating salty foods. I'm eating meat and veg. You've Googled the wrong thing. Google, I'm working out, but I put on weight. I don't think you understand what's going on.
Specific.
Yeah, Red Richardson. Why is it happening to Red Richardson?
Just Google.
I think we'll
Google,
need like the new AI search engine for this specific search.
Google, why I'm working out. Why am I putting on weight and eating well? Why am I putting on weight? It's nothing to do with salt. I know what I'm eating. I'm eating chicken and veg with no, that's not high in salt. It's not like I'm just eating crisps now.
Muscle mass is denser than fat mass, and you'll undoubtedly gain weight from lean muscle gains.
That's all we needed to hear from the start, Jody. That's how you should have answered from the start. We have it here. Lean muscle. There we go. How's your workouts going, Bobby?
Well, I was killing it, and then I got like a stomach bug, and I just spent 2 days laying in bed.
Nice.
And so I couldn't work out and didn't eat for 2 days. So now the prospect of going back to a gym is horrific.
Yeah. And what, you're going in like 4 times a week?
Yeah, but it's going to be...
What are you doing? What sort of...
Well, I did like a circuits class, which is I just give up after like 20 minutes. And then I did strength training, a couple strength training. Then I was supposed to do Pilates, but I was late. But when I got the wrong time. When I looked in, it was just 20 women like in unison moving. And I was like, that me being there would have ruined the aesthetic of that class.
You're working out like a trophy wife. I realized. He does the same classes.
The classes, I did it because I know I'd go if there's classes. The classes are all trophy wives.
Yeah, of course, he's staying in shape to keep the oligarch happy.
The great thing about being there is, I think, because I had I had the big beard last week.
Yeah.
And the guy, I forgot a water bottle 2 days in a row, but whatever. And then the guy had an extra water bottle. He's like, oh, you want this? I'm like, yeah. Then he's like, do you have one? I was like, do I have one what? He's like, do you have a water bottle? He thought I was like homeless and somehow like scrounged together the last of my money to pay an extortionate amount of money to make sure I exercise.
Yeah.
And now I'm some homeless guy that doesn't have a water bottle. It's like, listen, buddy, your classes are not for the poor.
No,
like, that's not what this is.
Do you get on with the trophy wives then?
We don't speak much. We'll exchange weights.
Well, they've got nothing to gain from you.
No.
That'd be funny if you just started hanging out and you became like a Sex in the City crew.
Should we go for coffee?
Yeah.
He said that? I can't believe it. Yeah. Why would he do that?
Take half.
Yeah. Mm. You're with half.
Half.
We are reaching the age now where there's a lot of divorces.
Yeah.
Any of your friends got divorced?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's gone through yet, but yeah, they have, yeah.
One of my good friends is going through a breakup. It's all.
I mean, 40 should be the time, shouldn't it?
Tiger Woods is my good friend.
Oh, is Tiger Woods your good friend? Okay. What's happened to him?
Well...
He didn't get married again.
No, he didn't get married, but he's been with his girlfriend since, I think, 2017. And
I don't think relationships are for him. Do you know what I mean?
The thing is, I'm worried that I'm going to say this story, but then by the time this comes out, something weird about Tiger Woods will have came out. But just know I'm saying this before anything weird has came out.
Yeah.
So he said to his girlfriend, hey, we should go on a vacation.
Oh, no.
And she said, okay. So I guess he got his people to like take her to the airport, thinking he was coming along later or something because he's a busy guy, Tiger Woods. Then she got to the airport and they just said to her, yeah, you don't live with Tiger anymore. She's like, what? Like, yeah, you don't live with Tiger anymore. Gave her a couple days at a hotel. Sent her on her way.
Wait, so he didn't even tell her himself?
No.
He just got his man to do it?
Yeah.
So they went on holiday.
Didn't even go to holiday. Got to the airport. Tricked her to think she was going on holiday to kick her out.
Oh, my God.
But it's like... And then just...
But I suppose if you have the team, you know, am I paying all these people?
Okay.
It's a horrible thing to have to dump someone.
No.
If you have enough money, you can get
you
someone,
can
else,
pay
to do
someone
it.
Else to dump them for you. The thing is, I would say the main problem would be, though, that Tiger Woods has been with this woman since 2017. Within that time.
Tough lockdown.
Within that time, he crashed his car, almost died, didn't get charged with drinking and driving, but was, I would say, clearly
over the
fucked
limit.
Up.
Yeah.
He was driving twice the speed limit at 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
On a residential street at 7 a.m. He was going twice the speed limit.
You're not going to
limit.
Whole Foods at that time with that speed, are you?
So she knows where the bodies are buried.
Yeah.
And he got her to sign an NDA at the beginning.
Amazing.
At the beginning of the relationship. NDA, first day.
Mm.
However, there's been a new law passed in nationwide in America that says if you've been a victim of sexual harassment or sexual assault, then NDAs are no longer valid.
Okay.
Sexual harassment in a relationship, quite vague.
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean?
And he's a sex addict.
I listen, very litigious people, the Woods team, but I would venture to say they're very litigious.
Fuck.
Couldn't even get him breathalyzed when he was going. Like, the cops couldn't breathalyze him when he was going twice the speed limit. He's very litigious.
Well, he's so up there.
Yeah, he's a billionaire. So
he could probably kill her, like OJ, you know what I mean, and get away with it. He's that powerful. He's OJ level.
Yeah. But so now she's saying, I think the NDA should be broken because of some. But she hasn't said what.
Of course you do.
But yeah, we'll see.
See what happens. He'll ride the storm. He's too in American culture, you know?
Nobody wants
Tiger Woods to be not Tiger Woods.
No.
Do you remember when the whole cheating thing happened? And he got his whole family and did that press conference and said sorry to Nike. They stood by him. The only ones who did.
Yeah.
That's why I'm wearing them today, out of respect for their loyalty.
The tiger.
Yeah, the tiger.
I love that. That sounds great. When his ex-wife attacked him in his car with a golf club.
Yeah. God. What was she called? Erin Nordigen or something.
She did all right. She was.
She got $350 million.
Listen, she was a nanny.
Yeah.
She had two kids with Tiger Woods. Now she lives in a mansion in Florida.
She has £350 million.
That's not so bad.
Yeah.
Most people whose husbands cheat on them don't end up with $350 million.
Can you imagine the
when
new,
they start as a nanny?
Of course. The new man must be, like, in such a good, like, he's just with her, and she's like, oh, I have trust issues, and I promise you won't cheat on me. He's like, look, there's no way. You're an attractive lady with $350. There's just, it's not.
Yeah.
That's not, I am not Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
I'm not nearly as talented enough to cheat on you. But yeah, he was prolific. He just shouldn't get married. I think he felt like, this is what you do. You know, one of those people just enters into it. And you go, just be DiCaprio. Maybe move the age up a bit. But, you know, just be that guy.
DiCaprio never married, did he?
No, not at all. He's never had, like, long, long girlfriends.
I long for something really weird to come out about him, though.
Well, there's all the rumors. Rumors. If you say rumors, does it make you just completely unsuable?
I don't think so.
Have I taught myself that?
I'm not sure.
People just go allegedly, and then it's like, fine. But there's the Whale Music rumor that he sleeps with women, insists on it being from behind, and he wears noise cancelling headphones and listens to Whale Music. And I've heard that from many people who work in the biz, all with the same story. So there you go. Talking of the biz, I'm a TV star now. I was on set yesterday.
Don't say what, because I feel like I feel like a lot of the success of this show airing and doing well is the surprise of you being in it.
Okay, I won't say what it is.
Because, you know?
That's completely wrong, but I got a car there picked up from my house at 5 a.m.
Red paid a friend to pick him up.
No.
You paid a friend to drive you. That's
My cab was, I stood on the road and I waved it down. It was a giant red cab.
Was it an Uber though?
No, it was.
Did they just
order? No, it was a black cab.
A black cab.
And they got a nice Irish guy. His mum had been rushed to hospital and just had happened and really wanted to talk about it. So we were chatting about that.
And how'd she?
I think she's right. He kept on being on the phone on hold to the hospital because her care home had sent her there. And so, I said, how is she? Because she's been vomiting blood. And I went, oh, that's... Just, oh.
So you could have got a bus and he could have went and saw his mom. But for your ego...
No,
he had
to, TV he had to miss has his, to be made.
He had to miss his last moments with his mother.
No.
So you had a comfier ride to set.
TV, I had to, you know... No, I didn't think about that.
You didn't think about the idea that you could say, hey, man, actually, you know what? Why don't you go be with your mom? I'll just get a bus.
Well, he was working. You know, I don't know. It's Is that what would have happened? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But anyway.
Was he going there immediately after he dropped you
no,
off?
No, he said he wasn't going over. Oh, he was okay. Waiting to hear.
He didn't care that.
Waiting to hear what was going on. And then I turn up. I'd been offered the role of a stripper in this show. And I said no. They wanted me in Speedos, cowboy boots. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. And instantly was they said, why did you turn down the role of a stripper? And I said, because I will not let you guys mess with my dignity anymore. And then 20 minutes later, I was dressed as Elsa from Frozen, which is a slight improvement on being a stripper. But what I realized is when you're on a TV set, people treat you with so much more respect than they do in stand-up. Like, there's an awe. All the people who were working on it and stuff, or like people who were extras and stuff, they assume all they have to see is like a sandwich or a catering truck, and they go, oh, you must be something. Whereas in comedy, it can say the comedy store. There can be a microphone. You can be brought on as the first comedian. And everyone still sits there and goes, not sure yet.
Yeah, I get to gig sometimes, and the worst is the bouncer will be like, why are you here?
Yeah.
And I'm a comedian on the show, and then they go, let me check.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, we both work here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't work here any more than I work here. About? We both are now employees of this establishment.
But there's something about, I don't know, that people, and it's so funny, this older man came up to me and said, he was an actor in it, and he goes, I know it was with Alfie Brown, he's been a guest on his show. And Alfie wasn't there, and he goes, I know Alfie's face, and I know Alfie's name, but I don't know your face, and I don't know your name.
That's a great thing.
And I said, cool. And then he said, can we have a selfie? And I was like, yeah. So we took a picture. Then he sent the picture to me on Insta saying, great to meet you. And I was like, thanks for the weirdest negging of all time.
He was an extra.
Well, an actor. He was an actor.
I feel like he was probably a professional extra because that sounds like an extra energy.
Yeah.
Extras are the most desperate people, yeah, but always.
But it was kind of just this, but like he felt the need to say, I don't know you. And then he came up to me later and went, you do deadpan comedy. And I said, maybe, yeah. So, and he goes, Alfie's way more energetic than you. And I, why don't you go fucking marry Alfie? Literally. Why don't you go and pull Alfie's pants down and give him a blowjob? Leave me alone. No, he was a nice guy in the end.
He's probably going to listen to this. I feel like
maybe
he's gonna come up.
Yeah. He goes, oh, he's got a podcast. That's quite good. It's good to listen to podcasts. I'm really depressed because my wife has left me. I'll just walk down to the sea and listen. But yeah. So if you're at a gig, show some respect to the comics, please.
I do kind of enjoy being ill.
Why?
I think I'm just at an age where the biggest stress in my life isn't one thing. It's just the constant busyness, the tedious busyness
there's so much
of
to
adult
do.
Life. And when you're ill, you get to cancel all your plans.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, I would rather my body is in agony than my mind has to do things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm okay with that trade-off.
Yeah.
It made me envious of the chronically ill.
That what? Because nothing's expected.
Nothing's expected. You don't get to achieve anything, but also, do you have to? I long for something that just takes me out of the game.
Fuck it.
Some infectious disease where my fingers fall off and my eyes fall out of my head. And I'm just a husk of a man. Maybe
just
I still
so you have to go to a birthday party.
Just so I don't get dragged around to make small talk with all the acquaintances.
I don't want that, but I could do with another lockdown. Yeah. Just a nice 2-weeker, you know?
I didn't think of that. Maybe that's better.
Yeah,
maybe
just
that's
a little
a better
lockdown.
Solution.
Yeah, that is, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Why don't you just go on holiday?
I'm doing that.
I don't think you need terminal illness. I think you just need a break.
Oh, maybe I'm longing. Oh, we're going. I haven't told you. We're going on holiday.
Where?
2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah, we're going to Tenerife.
Nice. It'll be hot there as well.
Yeah, it's the closest, hottest place. It'll be 23.
Amazing. And so what, you, Harriet, and Mabel? Or you and the girls from Zumba?
Me and the Zumba girls. me and the Zumba girls, we've just decided to let our hair down and, you know,
fuck your husbands. We're going on a break.
The boys aren't coming. They've got to work.
Is your man coming? No, but his plastic is.
They've got big cases coming up in their corporate law jobs. And hey, guess what? We take care of the kids 24/7.
Yep.
They can see what it's like for a week.
We take care of the kids with the four people you hire as well.
Yes. The nannies technically take care of the kids while we work out, but. Yeah. So, yeah, we're going on vacation. We're sipping on our margaritas and our lattes.
Watch out for the salt in them.
Yeah.
That's make you fat and Jody will judge you. Get judged by Jody. Judge Jody.
Judge Jody. What an unsatisfying show that would be.
Yeah. You have to sleep with me. That's always the sentence.
The Judge Jody is a creep. How has that not been a porn parody yet?
Did we just
stumble upon the only thing that hasn't been a porn parody?
Well, we've got three cameras and no women. It's not looking good for me and you.
Or some would say it's looking very good for me, not you. Judge Jody, I think you guys should make up by fucking each other. That's every
sentence.
I get that he stole your car and then brought it back and it was broken, but I think you should let him go down on you.
Here.
Judge Jody declares it.
Ding, ding.
Ding.
Yeah, instead of a little conk, he's got like a strap on or something.
Just a wooden dildo.
Yeah.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding.
Judge Jody needs to see it.
Just to make sure it happens.
I want to watch the sentence get carried out.
Oh, so that's enough of this week.
What year are we going back to?
Well,
is a good question.
Who knows? We never know, do we? We just get in the time machine.
Okay. So I decided we should go back to a simpler time. Well, actually, I really wanted to go back to this time because it was, there's this story in the news this week about how Rishi Sunak wants to kill all the immigrants. Or, you know, if they come across in boats, then they're allowed to be trafficked and he won't help them.
because
he's just a great guy. So I just found this story. I just made me think, like, ugh, what a gross place this is. And I stumbled upon the first opium war, which was started in 1839.
That's where we're going.
And that's where we're going, to 1839. Now, if you're wondering, what's the first opium war? Well, the first opium war was China decided, because opium was ravaging the Chinese population. Mm-hmm. Everyone's getting addicted. They're all junkies. So China banned the export of opium because it was British traders, a.k.a. dealers, selling the opium to Chinese people. I don't know how that was what was happening, but that's what was happening. So China decided, hey, we're going to get rid... Mm-hmm. We're going to stop this. And then Britain went to war with China to make them keep selling opium because that was Britain's biggest profit maker in the 19th century.
Okay. You will continue to do smack.
And they did.
Fuck.
They beat him and made him keep selling heroin.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Isn't that just such a
lie? Also, I think you're being a bit harsh because opium back then was slightly different, wasn't it?
It was a softer high.
It was a softer high, I hear. I don't think it was the same as, you know, train spotting. I think it was... A lot of poets used to smoke opium.
Yeah, I do maybe. I'm sure. Yeah, but like weed is a soft high, but it still can ruin someone's life.
Yeah.
Anything can, you know.
Mm-mm-mm.
But I just... It just made me smile.
What, that we were just went, no, continue.
Yeah.
So it's like Columbia going, we do not want to sell
cocaine.
We don't want to manufacture any more cocaine.
No, you're going to...
No, you, we need it.
Yeah, Britain was just the Pablo Escobar.
Of the world.
Of the world. Keep that opium flowing. We're making good coin with it.
Do not stop the party.
Yeah. I get it, though. It probably was a good...
Also, it's 1839. What's the fucking point in not doing it? Do you know what I mean?
Well, I feel like the point, it's a lot harder. you have to really have your wits about you more than today to stay
alive.
Yeah,
it's so bleak. You're lucky if you live past 10 and you're like, well, may as well just have a good time. And what was the life expectancy? Sort of 50?
I don't know if they bothered to figure that out.
Mm. 1839 wouldn't have been that bad, probably higher than that. But, you know, still, it's like I watched you and Tim talking about how no one in this room would have been alive in 1906 or 1902. So I think if you make it and you, like, look outside, there's shit in the streets, sewers. This is pre-Jack the Ripper era, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you're sort of like, ugh, this is horrible. I may as well just smoke a bit of opium. And the Chinese are just trying to stop the party. And
would
Britain
you have
like,
made it?
What?
We never...
No, I was very malnourished as a child. I went to hospital
it's
twice.
Really went the other way.
I know. Well, it's me just being terrified. It's PTSD. No, I went to hospital twice for dehydration.
At what age?
3, 2. Okay. I would have been dead. Sick little boy.
Did they put you on IV and stuff?
I think so. I don't remember. Okay. Yeah, I think so. I think they did.
You just wouldn't drink or what?
No, I just threw up everything.
Okay.
So I think if to survive, I'd have to be like fucking Queen Victoria's favorite son. So you know, they'd bring in like Rasputin for me to survive. There'd have to be some evil magic. And then, everyone would rue the day. But, no, I think I would have died. But I do think with those things, like, I would have drank so much more in medieval times. You must, you know what I mean? Like, if you're 1302, would you not just go, what's the point?
Yeah.
But then I suppose, as we've said before, you don't know what life would be better. But everything is hard. You're literally relying on the weather to eat.
Yeah.
And all you want to do is just get high at night after a hard day in the fields and smoke some opium.
And China wants to stop
China wants to stop the party.
Again, restricting freedoms.
So I think they're the bad guys. I've just thought of a buddy comedy idea.
Even in 1839.
James Franco, Seth Rogen go to China. Try and stop them from stopping the party.
In 1839, yeah. Set in 1830, that'd be a great movie.
Yeah.
They already did North Korea. That didn't go well.
Did it even come out?
It did come out, but not really a big theatrical release. Because Kim Jong-un's dudes, they hacked into Sony and released all their emails and pretty much said something horrible will happen to you if you release this movie.
Well, just your emails getting released. Can you imagine your WhatsApps getting leaked?
I think they probably They started with email and then they went, the WhatsApps are next.
Well, Matt Hancock's, I can't actually work out which ones are real or not on Twitter because everything's so like, you know, people Photoshop stuff.
Yeah.
The thought of my WhatsApps getting leaked is one of my deepest fears, and I'm sure it's many, many people's. You're like, oh. Because it sort of feels like this fake world where you can just be like a really nasty version of yourself. But it's not.
I always forget to reply to WhatsApp messages. I'm like the most apathetic WhatsApp user. And if I get put in a group, I don't speak.
Yeah,
it's more because I don't... When I get added to a WhatsApp group, I'm just like, no. Mm. I like being mean.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually need to do it in person.
And you don't want to leave a carbon footprint.
I don't think I'm that intentional. I think it's more...
Yeah, okay.
I don't get anything out of it unless I see someone laughing or...
Yeah.
Or crying, you know? I need to see a reaction in person.
I was reading about some mafia family called the Patriarch family from Detroit. And they are still... Like, the dad was in charge for like 60 years, never went to jail. His son is still in charge. But the reason... But when he had meetings with people, he'd insist that you'd walk into the sea up to here and then chat.
Yeah.
So just no chance. So if you ever want to talk business, it's like, no, into the sea. And then you wade out with him and you're like, right, we've got 7 trucks of stolen, you know, whatever. Do you want to do business?
But he never got caught.
Never got caught. So maybe we should all quit WhatsApp. But if you want to slag someone off, you just go, hey, can I talk to you? And then you just drive into the beach, walk into the sea and go, I don't like James. It's the only way about it. Because you do worry someone might leak this, you know?
That would be actually, maybe I've heard this somewhere before. It feels familiar as I'm thinking it.
Yeah.
So if it is someone else's bit, I apologize.
Steal it. oh, that's the other thing the guy said to me. He's like, you ever plagiarized jokes? And I was like, what the fuck is that about? And the guy from the extra from the... It was just such a weird... And I went, what? Haven't you? It seems like you know me and don't like me already. It's like, who are you? Anyway, yeah, go on.
He sounds like a cool guy. If Russia wants to destroy the West...
Try.
All you have to do is hack WhatsApp and release everyone's WhatsApps into public.
We go, sorry, Ukraine, you're on your own.
And all of the West will implode.
Yeah.
Within a week.
Oh, we'd be like, just take Ukraine. You could have bloody France while you're at it.
They just have to be like, if you keep giving weapons to Ukraine, we will release everyone's WhatsApps. Rishi's, mine, yours, Biden's.
Rishi Sunak would literally, within 10 minutes, he'd be on TV holding a national address.
The hammer and sickle.
Yeah, and he'd go, hello, everyone. What I've realized is there's a lot of fake news about Putin going around. He's actually a fucking good guy.
I think the only one who'd be safe is Biden because he definitely is not sending out any of his own text messages.
No, I don't think he knows what a phone is at the moment, you know? Probably
just a deer in headlights.
On his grandson's, like, toy kid's phone. Where's the WhatsApp, kid? I need to ring President, you know, whatever, just like on a child's phone. They're like, oh no, this is really bad. What did he say the other day? He did a similar one to the you're not black if you don't vote for me. Do you remember when he did that? He spoke to Charlemagne and went, if you're black and you vote you vote Trump, you ain't black. And everyone was like, oh. And then he did a similar thing like that today. I can't remember what it was. He's quite entertaining, though. They need an actual president soon, because it's been like 6 years of no actual real person in charge. Have you ever tried opium, Jody?
I did. The first Glastonbury I was at, I was walking past someone, they were selling opium truffles.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I bought some opium truffles and we all got fat and high. Yeah, all just sat around in a tent for quite a while smoking. Yeah, opium and spliffs, yeah.
And if the Chinese had come and tried to stop that, what would you have done to them, Jody?
Gone to war.
Yeah, he would have done that. He
would have mounted them like a dog and bitten their cheek.
How was the high, Jody?
Yeah, it was very good. I can see why people do it. It gets quite popular.
Yeah. Did you go, oh, I could do with a bit more of that when it was gone?
Yeah. I was like, oh, where can I get some more of this? Yeah. That would have been good. It had a very strange... thing happened, like, obviously I had some left and we went to stay at a friend's
obviously
house.
Obviously I had some left.
Just some left.
Conserve it.
Yeah. Who does drugs and has some left over?
I know, it's a weird one when people got a bit of coke left.
Why? I've never had any coke left in my life.
Oh no, yeah, coke is like that. Yeah, we're staying at a friend's, like, house, like, out in the country, and they had a big trampoline. So me and a couple of mates were sitting smoking in the middle of the night. And there was like some big boarding school out in like another field. So we wandered over there, very, very high. And then not hundreds, but tens of just like, I guess 10-year-old, 12-year-old Spanish children came and swarmed us. It was just like really weird. They were like on like a school trip. But it was really, really bizarre thing to happen. Obviously,
Where were you?
Suffolk.
What, and just these kids
swarmed
you?
Yeah.
What did they do to you?
They didn't do anything. It was just like, oh, who are you? But we probably shouldn't be here. Let's wander back.
Tripping out.
Yeah. It was a very, very strange thing to happen. They're like, okay, we should probably leave now.
Maybe they weren't even there, Jody.
No, unless it was a shared trip, I don't think.
Okay, everyone.
Yeah.
Maybe the friends you were with weren't there either.
In 1839, slaves aboard the Amistad rebel and capture the ship.
Yeah, not a good day for the captain, isn't it?
Again, Red sticks with this thing.
No.
Empathizing.
No,
with
I'm not empathizing at all. I'm not empathizing. I can just imagine him going, this is exactly what I wanted not to happen.
Yes, of course. Yeah, well, I mean.
But no, that must have been. Because imagine you're fucking.
Why do your thoughts instantly go to the.
But he's been so evil to these people and now they've got him. He must have been like, oh no.
I don't think he had much time to think about it.
Well, they should have made it drag out.
Yeah.
That's good. This is a good story. Why is there not a film about it? Maybe there is.
Have you seen the film?
Is it called Amistad?
Amistad?
Amistad. There is a film about this.
Have
exactly.
you seen Amistad?
No.
Really?
No, I read the book.
The book?
Yeah, by J.K. Rowling.
Weirdly, I didn't know it, but trans people were the slave masters. Who knew?
I wasn't sure. Was that a joke about Amistad?
That's why I watched it in English at school.
Okay.
No, it was a joke.
Okay.
Sometimes I'm a lot of steps ahead of you guys.
Yeah, yeah. That extra was onto something, maybe.
What, I'm a genius.
Yeah. We very, very dry jokes, he said.
Yeah. Mm. That's the thing. I plant them and then everyone goes and they go, I love watching.
Ah, callback.
I was watching my Tamagotchis think I'm stupid when actually I'm just the puppet master. Very interesting. But this guy, I went on his Instagram and there's a video of him with a lightsaber acting and fighting another guy.
Okay.
But it's really high budget. Well, not high budget, but like high CGI.
Is he in Star Wars?
He's not in Star Wars. No, because he wouldn't be on the show I was on yesterday if he'd been in Star Wars. But it's like, what's going on? What is happening?
I don't think it actually costs as much money as you might think.
Maybe not. Honestly,
to make it look like a lightsaber battle is happening.
They're literally just, all it is it's probably really, Jody can probably do it now. They just, one's got a green light and the other's got a blue.
I think that's a pretty easy effect.
Yeah, like in 1972 I would have gone, wow. But maybe not now. Yeah, it's fucking weird.
That would have been amazing because that would have been 5 years before Star Wars came out.
Yeah, that's why.
That would have been,
wow.
That would have been mind-blowing.
You know, what's this? Do you know when George Lucas showed Star Wars to his mates, like the first cut, and they were like, mate, this is the end. You fucked it. Because they were just like, what is this? Everything looks shit. And the lightsabers were like brooms still. And everyone just went, this is so bad. Cut your losses. Put it straight out to whatever and just leave it.
Well, I hope you stop talking to those people.
Yeah, well, I probably would have been one of them. I'm usually a naysayer, man. Anytime I see someone go, God, they're awful at comedy. 2 minutes later, they're doing the Wembley Arena, and I'm like, oh, maybe it's me.
So, in August 1839, a U.S. brig came across the schooner Amistad off the coast of Long Island, New York. Aboard the Spanish ship were a group of Africans who had been captured and sold illegally as enslaved workers in Cuba. The enslaved Africans then revolted at sea and won control of the Amistad from their captors. U.S. authorities seized the ship and imprisoned the Africans, beginning a legal and diplomatic drama that would shake the foundations of the nation's government and bring the explosive issue of slavery to the forefront of American politics. Now, the story begins in February 1839 when Portuguese slave hunters abducted hundreds of Africans.
Slave hunter. Imagine being a stand-up comedian then doing crowd work. What'd you do? I'm a slave hunter. Oh. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And is this your wife? Are you a couple?
Yeah, I think you'd move on quick. That would be where you go.
Oh, God. Yeah, but then the guy next to him is like, I do illegal abortions.
Well, that's a good guy.
That's a good guy.
I'm okay with that guy.
Yeah, no, that's a good guy.
I don't think people shout that, though, because if abortions are illegal,
but I mean,
you usually don't shout that you're doing the illegal
thing.
Illegal
abortion's a good guy, but it's not good for cop. You know, what did you do with him? Are you done any good ones recently?
You know what I'd say back to him? Well, you're not good at keeping a fucking secret, are you?
Yeah, that's
Boom.
True.
Boom, got him.
Boom. Okay, it's over.
Move on,
yeah.
So Portuguese slave hunters abducted hundreds of Africans from Mendelan in present-day Sierra Leone and transported them to Cuba, then a Spanish colony. Though the U.S., Britain, and Spain and other European powers had abolished the importation of slaves by that time, the transatlantic slave trade continued illegally, and Havana was an important slave trading hub. So the Spanish plantation owners, Pedro Montes and Jose Ruiz, purchased 53 of the captives as slaves, including 49 adult males and 4 children, 3 of them girls.
Ugh.
On June 28th, Montes and Ruiz and the 53 Africans set sail from Havana on the Amistad for Porto Principal, where the two Spaniards owned plantations. Okay.
Yep. So they're all aboard.
They're all aboard.
And it is not a cruise.
Several days into the journey, one of the Africans, Senge Pia, also known as Joseph Sink, managed to unshackle himself and his fellow captives. That's a good dude.
Oh, yeah. Imagine the feeling when you just, like,
fucking
get the lockout.
Ugh!
And then just this pasty, sunburnt white guy who's probably been walking around past you flicking your dick for a week.
Yeah.
And you just get the chain around his neck and just squeeze his eyeballs out of his head.
They seize control of the Amistad, killing its Spanish captain and the ship's cook.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a cook, I don't know, but I guess, you know.
I think he's making paninis.
I gave you the food, I gave you the food, come on. I cook for you, I cook for them, I'm a neutral party.
Who's going to make shepherd's pie when I'm gone?
You don't know how to cook this food, this isn't your kind of food, come on, you need me.
The cook doesn't deserve it, but I don't know, though.
Well, what, I don't know. I think
do you kill the cook? I wouldn't, I'd leave the cook.
At that point, I'd probably kill the cook.
I think you'd be in a bit of a frenzy.
I think you'd be pretty angry.
I'd probably kill the captain's kids, you know what I mean? Because they'd be coming and going, nah, 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 you can't get me.
Yeah, I'd listen, kill them all. Fuck him. At that point, fuck him.
Dead.
So, to be fair, the cook, who had taunted the captives by telling them that they would be killed and eaten when they got to the plantation. Well, there
well,
we go.
He completely deserves it.
Yeah.
He fucking deserves
he
it.
He had it coming for sure. Yeah. What a fucking asshole.
He'd go in burritos and go,
killed and eaten. Yeah, you totally had it coming.
Oh, good. They should have boiled his head in the pot.
So in need of navigation, the Africans ordered Montez and Ruiz, so he kept them alive, to turn the ship eastward back to Africa.
That's smart. So he keeps the two...
Keeps the two plantation owners. But the Spaniards secretly changed course at night, and instead the Amistad sailed through the Caribbean and up the eastern coast of the United States. Well, what was stupid, though, is they accidentally sailed it so far north. You know what I mean?
Yeah, to the Arctic.
No, not to the Arctic. To fucking... like Boston or wherever it came aboard.
Okay, so they didn't go like past.
They didn't go to like Texas, or you're not Texas, but like.
I thought you meant they went so far north they saw snow and went, "This isn't Africa."
No,
you lying.
They
cunt.
Didn't go somewhere where slavery was still.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I see what you mean. Yeah.
You know,
they went to the.
They went to where it would have been a debate.
Yeah.
So on August 26th, the U.S. brig Washington found the ship while it was anchored off. The tip of Long Island. So, yeah, sorry, they went to Long Island, New York.
Mm-hmm.
The naval officer had seized the Amistad and put the Africans back in chains, escorting them to Connecticut, where they would claim salvage rights to the ship and its human cargo. Okay. But then there was a court battle, obviously, like in the movie, where they're charged with murder and piracy. And that's what happened.
It's funny how piracy back then used to be like stealing a ship and throwing someone. Now it's just like. Copying a VHS from one onto another. Do you know what I mean? You're done for piracy. When I hear piracy, I just think, oh, someone watched Top Gun illegally.
But what's pretty badass, though, is in 1841, so it took him a few years, Sink and the other 34 surviving Africans of the Amistad, some had died at sea or in prison awaiting trial. They sailed from New York aboard a ship called the Gentleman, accompanied by several Christian missionaries, trying to get their hooks into them right before they get home.
And they went back to Africa.
And they went back.
So they got off the court case then?
Yeah, they got off.
Amazing. That's good.
I just assume people knew that because of the movie.
And it was Judge Jody. They just had to fuck and that was it.
Judge Jody.
You put your penis in his mouth. I sentence you to a 20-minute rim job.
Oh, Jody, why do you always have the... Jody, what about the mandatory minimum? It's a kiss on the cheek. Oh, no, I don't. I give harsh sentences.
You're in your cell. The lawyer comes in and goes, look, you're looking at one in the ass, at least. It depends what mood Jody's in. But Saturn is rising and he gets very strange around this.
Lick around his nipples while I eat my ice cream. Judge Jody gives harsh sentences.
Okay.
So, yeah. They killed him, and They didn't have to. I mean, they didn't. You know, they didn't get sentenced to life in prison.
Those two cheeky men with the sat nav.
I don't know what happened to them.
Well, they knew. The thing is, in their defense, they knew that if they take them back to Africa, it's not like they can just start a new life. I'm sure they're getting fucking battered to death.
Yeah,
and deservedly so.
Deservedly,
but. From their perspective,
yes, of course, right?
Their priority is me. You know what I mean?
Everyone's priority is themselves.
So he went, right, yeah, to Nigeria. Whoop.
It is funny, though. Eddie, with self-action, do you always take the side of like, well, I get where they were coming from because they wanted to look out for themselves.
Yeah.
Like, well, yes, that is how it works.
Fucking hell. When they got back to Boston, they must have been like, right, there's going to be a moment they're going to get really angry when they realize it's horrendous. They think about the amount of sharks and stuff.
Guys, we have some good news and some bad news, okay? The good news is we're near shore.
Yeah.
We're going to get to go home. Now, the bad news is we tricked you.
Yeah. The good news is we've tricked you. That's good for us, but, you know, yeah, fucking hell.
Okay. Couple great inventions in 1839.
Mm-hmm.
This lady I found out about blew my mind. Josephine Cochran was born.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the inventor of the first commercially successful dishwasher.
Nice.
Don't you love that a woman invented the dishwasher? And I mean that because, you know, at that time, they don't get to work. They're at home washing the dishes. This lady, her husband was fucking dead. Her husband had died. She's in a fucking hole. Life sucks. It's hard. She has this idea. I want to invent a machine that washes the dishes. Great. So that we don't have to wash the fucking dishes. The
thing is, you don't see dishwashers in anything until like 70s movies.
No, the 50s. The 50s are when they came into homes.
Ah,
but
where were they before then? Just
restaurants. So nice. Industrial-sized dishwashers.
Oh, okay, brilliant.
She died in 1913, and before she was dead, she had a good go of selling her dishwashers to like places that are washing a bunch of dishes.
Yeah.
It took. Her dream was always for dishwashers to be in every home, like for housewives. That was her, you know, but that wasn't possible because I assume, you know, most houses didn't have hot water at the time, you know, electricity. So, but in a lot of restaurants and industrial places where they need to wash a bunch of dishes, she made a go of it and like fucking crazy.
Amazing.
You know?
She'd had enough.
And that's a good invention. That's
it's
an invention.
Invention.
I appreciate that more than a silicon chip, you know.
Yeah.
Just like, I want to, and she wasn't even an engineer. She had the idea that she found someone who knew the specifics and had to design it and got this dude and they teamed up and he was her first employee, but she was the boss bitch.
Nice.
In charge.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
She died of a stroke or exhaustion.
That's weird.
I know, exhaustion.
Surely the dishwasher was meant to take
I know. You would have hoped.
Yeah. What?
She was working hard. She was 74. I don't know about. No one's ever says now that you die of exhaustion. I feel like that's an old timey thing.
Well, I think because you had to like walk for miles and, you know, it was just a genuine thing of like, I've had enough.
She lived to be.
74 is not bad for 1839.
Yeah.
Well, being born in 1839.
Yeah, not bad at all. Well, she said, though, near the end of her life, she admitted that if she knew all she knew today, she might not have ventured to innovate the dishwasher due to all of the hassles. However, she's glad that she did.
Yeah. And here she is, hundreds of years later, being paid homage to on the world's best history podcast.
Premier history destination.
Did you see all those abusive comments we got from Dan Carlin fans?
No.
It's quite funny. You saw them, Jody.
I have, yeah, and also, like, Dan Carlin is, like, the number one search, like, tag that we come up on, so it seems to attract them.
Yeah, we've had a load of Dan Carlin fans were, like, writing on our videos going, I've listened to Dan Carlin for 10 years, I've never heard of these two fucking bums.
Listen, are we newer to the arena than Dan Carlin?
Yeah.
Yes. Is he more informed than we are?
No.
Possibly.
Pretend, I don't know. I wouldn't want to. He wouldn't want to have a quiz off. If we had a quiz and Jody got to write all the questions, we'd beat him.
Yeah. What's the minimum sentence if you commit a burglary in Judge Jordy's court?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it licking the nipple? No, it's a kiss on the butthole.
That's what we'd get. But no, they were very angry. Very angry with us.
Dan Carlin's been like going longer than you guys have, like,
yeah,
taking it all very, very literally.
Well, what's funny, yeah, they said one guy went, Dan Carlin's going way longer than you guys. It's like, I think you're missing the, I don't think that's the problem, you know. I think the fact that we know absolutely fucking nothing and he's way, it's not the length of what doing, it's every second of what we've been doing compared to him. You fucking moron. But they got so angry. I didn't know there was like history fans, like fans of historians. And now we're in that world.
Not doing well within it.
We're doing pretty well. Yeah. Look, I'm sure.
Garnering respect.
There's at least, you know, people who go, oh, the year has come out. May as well put it on. Or it starts playing and you're driving and you can't change it. Either way, whatever, you know? We're like Homes Under the Hammer or something. It's on.
Not true. We're great.
We have a cult. Do write in with fitness advice, please, because I want to know why I'm getting heavier. Also, keep sharing my special, the Red Richardson special, on YouTube. Numbers are slowing. Get it back out there. Thank you.
Okay. I got an uplifting one for you.
Yeah.
In 1839... a disastrous cyclone hits India with terrible winds and a giant 40-foot storm surge, wiping out the port city of Coringa, and 300,000 people died. That's 100 9/11s.
Yeah.
In one day.
Jesus, what would that have looked like as well? Are you just being smashed around, I assume?
That's just a wave taking out a city of huts.
If a cyclone hits now, the chances are I die because I, you know, but I'd end up like smashing head first into Jody. Do you know what I mean? Just whack into his ball sack or something.
I think
my last moments would just be getting slammed against the door and I'd choke on Jody's
nuts. What's funny is for you, it's your worst last moment imaginable, but for Jody, it's how he wants to die. Yeah. just having our heads slam into his balls.
Into balls. And he's like, oh, Jody's just jizzed on me in the cyclone.
Judge Jody has declared
death by jizz. My most extreme sentence,
but for the most serious offenders.
What would happen though? Would you, what cyclone would just rips you around, smashes you?
I also think it's just drought. People just drown because like 1839 India, they didn't have like houses. They didn't need houses with, like, thick walls and shit. So they're in huts and fuck it. They're in, like, you know, mud huts. They're getting wiped away, washed away.
When I was in Thailand, we were in the hotel, and I walked down to the beach, and there's a sign that just says, Tsunami Escape Room. And I was just like, why have you built a hotel here if you need a sign that says that, you know? But that's how people live.
Yeah.
I try, every year I look up, there's at least 10 when they go, volcano erupts, killing 2 million, or just because we're in England, we don't. Everyone goes, oh, the weather's crap. It's always a bit grey for you.
I'm just about not living near the coast.
How about have 6 months of heat, but once every 4 years, a cyclone comes and takes your fucking.
Yeah, that's the trade off.
That's the trade off.
To a tropical climate.
Yeah, hot town. Who cares about your town when you're being spun at 300 miles an hour into Jody's cock repeatedly? You kind of wish for a bit of grey and drizzle then, don't you?
But it is. Yeah, it is crazy. The scale of death in human history.
Oh, well, everyone.
Yeah. Everybody's dead.
It is weird. I was thinking about the other day, and I really hope it just stops. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to risk there being another thing. Like, if there's another thing that's good, but the risk is too hard. So if I had to choose, you go, there's another thing, but you don't know what it is, or it just stops. I'd just go for stopping. Right. I don't want to turn out like ISIS were right, you know, or something, and like, fucking hell.
Well, I was reading about this year, and we couldn't really cover it as a year because nothing happened except the universally like worst year to be alive in human history is 536.
Yeah, we thought about doing it, but no one's there with any reports.
Yeah, because
everyone's just going
two volcanoes erupted, they think, and just everybody starved.
Fucking hell.
You know, that's like 1,500 years ago, which seems like, oh, that's so long ago. But again, my grandma, I've said this, but my grandma's 104. That's 15 grandma lifetimes ago. That's 15. If a baby was born on the day a 100-year-old died 15 times.
And they starved.
Over 15 of those ago, all of humanity was starving to death. Because the fucking earth was covered in a volcanic ash cloud.
Horrible. Starving is another word like piracy, where now it just means I'm starving.
Yeah, here.
Yeah, here.
Go to Yemen.
Oh,
they're
of course.
I'm starving. And
but here, we're just like, I'm starving. It means that you ate 4 hours ago.
Yeah.
And you've had to, like, do some work. You've sent 10 emails. It's like having a headache. I got a brain tumor. You know, just it's too much. Just say you're hungry, maybe.
We're going to end on another invention. A man who had a tragic life. William Otis. Have you heard of him?
No.
And this is another great invention. William Otis died when he was 26. So not long after his invention. Born in 1813. Died in 1839.
That's a lot of achieving if he, yeah.
Died of typhoid fever
mm-hmm.
in 1839. But in the meantime, he invented the steam shovel, which was the first mechanical digger. And as someone who, if they couldn't do comedy, might have to dig holes,
yeah.
I have a big appreciation for this invention.
Yeah.
And I think anyone who's ever dug a hole...
Oh yeah, I've dug holes before.
But you would have dug more holes if not for this man.
Yes, of course. Yeah, I used to work on a building site, and we would build stone walls, and there was a guy called Pete the Digger Driver, and he'd do the hardest stuff, and then we'd just fill up the bags with soil.
Yeah, and if not for him, you would have had to dig those fucking holes.
Yeah, indeed. That's a hell of an invention, especially given that he was 26 when he died. Last week we covered Kurt Cobain, 27. Some good songs, but you're not helping me in the yard, Kurt.
Sadly, to William Smith Otis, he didn't make it into the 27 Club.
No, he didn't.
I guess he didn't know about it because it's 1839, but he could have been in with Winehouse. And
yeah,
and
Janis
Hendrix.
Joplin, Hendrix.
Brian Jones,
who else is there?
Jim Morrison.
Jim Morrison. Ooh, Aaron Carter? Or was he older?
I don't think he was in it. Even if he was, he doesn't get to be in it.
He's the waiter in the 27 Club.
No
disrespect. No, he was like 35. Bad drug problem. Sorry, Aaron Carter. I remember when I was a kid, he was like the Justin Bieber, you know?
Yeah.
It is sad what happens to people. But then it's fucking weird to be famous.
No, you're wrong. He was 25.
Who?
Aaron Carter.
No.
Oh, no, wait.
No, because...
34.
34, yeah, that's what I thought.
I did the math wrong.
Imagine being washed up at that, with people saying you're washed up, like, hey, look at this. Because I still go, it's just getting going. I tell myself that so I don't kill myself.
I long to be washed up.
Yeah, because it means that you were out at sea at one point.
Yeah, all these people who sit back and say, oh, that celebrity's washed up. It's like, you've never done anything to be washed up. You have to reach a high of earning a ton of fucking money and somehow making an impact on millions of people. And then you go to making less of an impact and making less money.
Yeah, of course.
And people look down upon you. People who've never reached any high. These peasants, these fucking peasants sit and judge people.
And they look at him.
He only had he was a one-hit wonder. He wrote one great song. Do you know how hard it is to write one great song?
Of course, of course.
I could sit for 1,000 years, I wouldn't write one great song.
And people love it. They love that. Ronnie Cray said, I'd rather be a has-been than a never-was. I know that's probably not his saying, and he stole it, but that's where I heard it. So that's a good one, isn't it?
That is good.
I'd rather be a has-been than a never-was. Yeah, it's kind of like, I remember there was a guy called, there's a show called Dream Team on here in the noughties. You wouldn't have seen it. It was about a football club, and it was like a soap opera, like Hollyoaks sort of thing. And there's a character called Fletch from Dream Team, and he was in like 6 seasons, and me and my mates used to watch it. And then one of my mates saw Fletch being the lifeguard at Hampstead Heath Ponds.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, and he gets probably quite a nice job. You know, what do you expect him to do after Dream Team? Become the president?
Oh, so he might have money. He might just want to stay busy.
Like... Yeah, and he sits out in the sun and makes sure no one drowns. Fuck you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, it's Fletch. Look at what he was like. Oh, no, he's going to join Michael Jackson on tour. What was next for Dream Team?
Wait, but to be clear, did you laugh that day?
Of course I did. So, no, this is me now arguing aware, with... dressing as Elsa for a small TV role, realizing how hard life actually is. As a 20-year-old, I thought it was the funniest thing in the world. I was like, what a fucking loser. Now I'm very aware of my own life and my own limitations. I was saying it yesterday. I was like, the thin line between winning and being a loser is very small. Like Lewis Hamilton, Formula One champion, that's cool. But if he was slightly less good at Formula One, he'd just be really good at go-karting, which is the lamest thing in the world, a man who's great at go-karting. So, you know, it's very, very small. That chef who was amazing at football but just didn't quite make it, people love it. They go, and there's nothing more than people go, he's a failed comedian. The joy, he tried it and he failed.
They loved it, yeah.
And I didn't try. I went straight to work in HR. And I didn't fail. You know what I mean? Failed musician, people like that.
Yeah. They only use the word failed in front of jobs they can never do.
Yeah. And also do it because he's like, you didn't fucking try. And that's why you are a winner, because you didn't even enter the race. No.
And on that, we're going to go and we're going to record our Patreon episode. Which is actually only for the winners.
Yes, exactly.
The people who've tried hard enough to invest in us and give us minimum £3 a month, which isn't much. And you get an extra episode of this fucking show.
It's £3 a month. It's so small.
Week. So patreon.com/yearspod. Check it out.
There's 75p a week is what you have to pay.
Thanks to our super genius patrons, Spencer, Christopher, Matthew. You know who you are. Yeah. Thanks to all our patrons. See you soon.
We will see you soon.
Goodbye.
That was another episode of The Year Is. Thank you very much for listening. Please like and subscribe. Leave us a review. It all helps. I'd like to thank our producer, Jody. And also I'd like to thank Josh Weller for our intro music and song. It's very catchy. It's very nice. I'm sure you'll enjoy it at the beginning. So big thanks to Josh Weller. He's on Instagram at Josh Weller. Josh Weller. Follow him and keep spreading the word of The Year Is. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA.
TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more. Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.